Today, on the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio, clergy stand in solidarity with a Traverse City man detained by ICE. I'm Ed Ronco. Claire Keenan Kurgan will join us to talk about what's going on. Also, state officials meet in Traverse City to talk about the safety of dams. But we are starting with the latest on state concerns over voter registrations in Antrim County. Antrim County Clerk Victoria Bishop has responded to demands from the State Bureau of Elections, which accuses her of improperly changing the state's official list of registered voters. With this update, here's IPR's Austin Rolader.
The state issued a letter asking Bishop to explain why she sent out postcards to voters asking them to confirm their address, despite having no authority to do so. In her written response, Bishop says her intent was to, quote, expedite the information and absorb the cost for township clerks. Debbie Husband, clerk for Elk Rapids Township, told Bishop voters were coming to her office in a panic.
They were questioning why they received this. They were coming in and telling me they haven't moved, they haven't changed their address, they've been coming in to vote.
Bishop was not immediately available for comment. The postcard voters received tells them that their registration could be canceled if they don't return the card or they don't vote in either of the next two elections. IPR has obtained the list of 1,800 or so Antrim County voters who were sent notices asking them to confirm their address. Some were chosen because they hadn't voted in the last two major elections, which is against state law. But some of those names were people who were too young to vote two elections ago. For Interlochen Public Radio, I'm Austin Rolader.
Members of various Christian churches in northern Michigan gathered yesterday in Leelanau County in support of a Traverse City man detained by ICE. He is being held at Northlake Correctional Facility near Baldwin. The clergy member said he's participating in a hunger strike that began there last week, and that they, the clergy, are launching a solidarity strike. To explain that and tell us more, here's IPR's Claire Keenan Kurgan on the line with us. Hey, Claire.
Hey, Ed. Good morning.
Good morning. So you were there as clergy talked to reporters and others. Tell us what you saw.
There were about a dozen clergy members gathered at Guadalupe Chapel. This is a church northeast of Traverse City. And they were there with members of the public and some reporters. The church that this was hosted at holds services in Spanish. It's kind of a gathering place for Spanish speakers in Northwest Lower Michigan and also for migrant workers who pass through the area seasonally. Here is Reverend Linda Steffen of Central Methodist Church talking about why they were gathered there.
Clergy from many traditions and churches in our regions gathered today in faith, in prayer, and in solidarity, and as a public witness. As a member of one of our churches is detained in Baldwin and participating in the hunger strike. When one member of the body suffers, we all suffer.
She went on to say that detention should always be an extraordinary measure, that it's expensive and it's breaking up families. And again, they were there because a member of the church that we were all at is being detained by ICE.
Who is that person, this Traverse City man who was detained?
So they did not share his name. He didn't give them permission to share his name, but he is living in Traverse City. He is from Nicaragua, and he lives here with his wife, who is a U.S. citizen named Lynn, and they have a young child. And they are members of this church, as I said. Father Wayne Zekian is their pastor, and he spoke at the meeting. He's a Catholic priest in northern Michigan who works a lot with immigrants here in the region. And he said he knew that they had an immigration check-in in Detroit. He's been applying for a visa, and that they'd been nervous before going into that interview.
So they walked out of the interview room, and When the door opened, two agents were visible right outside the door in the hallway. They entered, introduced themselves as ICE agents, and then took the husband into custody.
So again, that's when he was detained. This happened in March, so beginning of March, about 2 months ago. And Father Wayne said that they had been coming to the church for about 18 months, and the man had been in the U.S. for a few years.
All right, Claire, let's talk about the hunger strike, because, you know, we had heard it was on, we had heard it was off. Now it sounds like it's on. What's going on there?
Yeah, great question. So again, this event was kind of started because this man from Traverse City was participating in the hunger strike at Northlake that we've been reporting on for the past few days. There are conflicting reports. So the hunger strike definitely ended in some units, but there are likely still individuals who are hunger striking within the facility. It's hard to get accurate information since there are many units that don't have great communication with each other, even within just the facility itself. Again, they didn't say this man's name, so I wasn't able to confirm any of the details about his hunger strike with him or his family. But they did say that he is abstaining from food at the facility as of right now.
Yeah. All right. Finally, Claire, the clergy who you saw yesterday said they were launching a solidarity fast, a solidarity strike. What exactly does that mean?
So they called this a statewide solidarity fast among clergy and lay people across the state of Michigan. So this is a fast in solidarity with those at the facility. And it's not necessarily a fast from food, but a fast from something that's a part of your everyday. This was announced by Reverend Lucy Walker Webb of the Presbyterian Church.
The fast that you choose may be to refrain from food or water in some capacity. It may be to refrain from some other way that you spend your time or take in the world around you for the sake of giving your attention, giving your witness to the conditions of those who are suffering.
And she said, as of yesterday afternoon, 80 clergy members across Michigan had already committed to this solidarity fast.
Claire Keenan Kurgan, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Ed.
Claire Keenan Kurgan reporting on the line with us on this Tuesday morning here on the Up North Lowdown. State leaders want better funding and safety regulations for Michigan dams. They are pushing for a House bill that would increase oversight and funding for the state's more than 2,500 dams. Leaders met in Traverse City yesterday to hear from local officials about flooding at the Fish Pass project on the Boardman River, which engineers say could have been worse if the state hadn't invested in upgrading the former Union Street Dam. Phil Roos leads the Michigan Department for Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy, and he was among those who spoke.
Dam safety may be an issue that isn't partisan. It may be an issue that affects all of us so directly. And it's so important to our state that we can come together. And whether it's passing the legislation that was proposed, or it's improving procedures, or ultimately funding.
The state estimates it needs $1 billion to upgrade all its dams. Finally today, and before we go, listen to this. That is an American robin recorded earlier today outside our studios here in Interlochen. So there's this picnic table next to our building, and at about 6 this morning, just as the sky was turning from black to blue, this little bird was standing right on the end of the table, just singing away. Springtime in northern Michigan. Our producer is Austin Rolater. I'm Ed Ronco, music by Blue Dot Sessions and the American Robin, and this is the Up North Lowdown.
Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at ComfortKeepers.com.